144, oil prices below $105 a barrel. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. If it would help if I pulled the microphone all the way up to my face here before I started, up to my mouth, wouldn't it? But welcome back to another week of broadcast here today on the Knowing the Truth radio program. I wanted to do a couple of things today. One, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the broadcasts that we have coming up here during this week, just so that you will have a heads up on a couple of the things that we're looking at talking about this week. First up today, we're going to speak with Michael Perrell here. Hopefully get him on the line here in just a minute. We're having a little bit of some technical difficulty with the phone line, but we hope to be up here and running in just a few moments. And Michael has written a book, and the book that he has written speaks about the subject of American exceptionalism. I'm sure you've heard of that phrase before. It became an issue during the presidential campaign, the last presidential campaign, because of some comments that Michelle Obama had made and because of some of the other comments that are often made by progressives in general. And so we wanted to talk with him about his book that deals with the subject of American exceptionalism and what that means. His book is actually entitled Under Dogma, How America's Enemies Use Our Love for the Underdog in Order to Trash American Power. So that's what we'll be speaking with him about. I also, at the second half of the program today, and I may reverse these a little bit, but during the second half of the program today, I wanted to play a segment of Dr. Albert Mohler's comments that he made today about the terror hearings that are taking place in New York City. I don't know if you've been following this very much, but Representative King, the congressman there in New York City, has decided to hold some hearings about Islam, and even more specifically about the radicalization of young people in America, how that they are being turned towards violent jihad, they would say. They'll be turning towards violence based upon hearing from these imams that are speaking to them from other countries and other places around the world. And so he's holding hearings on this. He's not saying that every person that claims to be Islamic is a jihadist and that they are going to commit some sort of violent act. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying that there are a number of folks that are being radicalized, and he wants to look at how this is taking place and what can be done about it. I fully agree with somebody taking this seriously that we just seem to, unfortunately, allow our political correctness does not allow us to be able to even ask these types of questions. And so I'm glad that he's doing this. Of course, he's just under a blistering attack then from the mainstream media and from Islamic sites and from Islamic supporters here in America, where they're just saying that this is a witch hunt and so forth and so on. You know how the story goes. And so I want to play here in a little bit just what is being said and what Dr. Moeller has said about this just this morning. And so I'll play that in just a couple moments for you. Let me tell you about a couple of the other things that we have coming up this week on the broadcast before I go into other things as well. First of all, on tomorrow's broadcast, I'll have two folks that I'll be speaking to tomorrow on the broadcast. One will be Emily Bells. Emily is with World Magazine, and Emily was going to be talking to us tomorrow during the first half of the broadcast about the Obama administration and their condemnation of the killing of the Pakistani Christian leader. Now, of course, we applaud the fact that the U.S. government has condemned this act. However, we're just wondering, does more need to be done in order to encourage religious freedoms in some of these countries? It's kind of a subject that will play very nicely off of what we're discussing here today. Secondly, she's going to be talking to us about why the Obama administration won't defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Just recently, the Obama administration and Eric Holder announced that they would not continue to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Well, that's extremely problematic because this was something that was passed by Congress, and the president has a responsibility to defend the laws of the United States, and he can't just pick and choose which ones he wants to defend. He has an obligation and a responsibility as the president to uphold the laws of the United States. We'll also, if we get a chance, we'll speak with her about a Supreme Court ruling recently about the Westboro Baptist Church, if they could even be called a church, and the offensive speech, the hateful speech that they do very often at places like funerals for fallen soldiers and these types of things. Well, the Supreme Court recently ruled that their speech is within the rights of free speech, and so that nothing can be done in order to stop them. Well, I shouldn't put it that way, that nothing can be done. A lot of times they build buffer zones around these funerals and these types of things in order to prevent them from being able to be heard, their comments being able to be heard by the people that are having these funerals. So we'll speak with her about that ruling as well. And then finally, on the broadcast tomorrow, if we get to it, that's a lot for one half an hour of broadcast. But we'll also talk about an article that was just recently written. I think Emily wrote it, too, about a new report from the government accounting office that identifies billions in wasteful government spending that can be slashed very easily. And so we'll be talking with her about those things as well. So a lot going on with World Magazine, and we'll catch up tomorrow when we speak with Emily Bells. On the second half of the broadcast tomorrow, we'll be speaking with Joel Beakey. Joel Beakey is going to be coming here to Greenville to speak at the PCRT conference. And Dr. Beakey will be on the program speaking with me about the subject of adoption, the Christian doctrine of adoption. And specifically, I want to ask him about the Puritans and adoption. He's really a Puritan expert. He's written extensively about the Puritan writings. And so I want to get his take on what did the Puritans have to say about adoption. You know that there's actually a myth surrounding this, that the Puritans didn't write very much about adoption. And I think the right person to debunk that myth tomorrow on the radio program will be Dr. Joel Beakey, so you won't want to miss out on that. Let's go ahead and take our commercial break here. And as we do that, we'll try to get the phone situation straightened out, see if it's up and running, and if we can go to our first guest here today. And if not, we'll switch gears and we'll go ahead and have Dr. Moeller's comments about the Islamic hearings that are taking place, radical Islamic hearings taking place in New York City. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Get a buyout and the government would give you a lump sum. You'd be done. They would have no further obligations to you, and you would have no more Social Security benefits coming. But a lot of people, including me, would rather take the one-time benefit invested myself than I would to, have a $250 check dribbling out over the rest of my life.
Join Dr. Tony Beam and his guests weekday mornings at 7 for Christian Worldview Today on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
What does the Bible teach me to expect of God if I'm His beloved child? How does our adoption change our attitude toward history and the church? These are some of the subjects we'll consider as we study the doctrine of adoption at this year's Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. We'll also see how practical it is for our lives. For more information, visit AllianceNet.org or call 1-800-488-1888. 1-800-488-1888.
Hi, this is Zach with Palmetto Precious Metals. Do you need cash? Do you have gold, platinum, or silver jewelry you just don't wear anymore? Please take it somewhere else, but then come to Palmetto Precious Metals. If you bring a written estimate from one of our competitors, we will beat their price every single time. We're Palmetto Precious Metals, off I-85 and Pelham Road, on the Parkway, behind Publix and Thornbley Village Shopping Center. We're on the web, palmettopreciousmetals.com, or call us, 879-3820.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, we're back with the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Unfortunately, it just seems like I don't think we're going to be able to get Michael Prell into the interview here in time. He is sought after speaker right now, and he's got another interview scheduled for 1:30. And so because we're having a little bit of difficulty with the phone lines today, and apparently on the side of the phone company, they're just trying to set up some extra lines for, things here in the studio. And because of that, the lines are just down for a few moments, and we're just not going to be able to hook up with Michael Prell. So we'll bring that one to you another time here. Again, his book, if you want to go out to the website and take a look at it, it's called Under Dogma. It's www.underdogma.com, underdogma.com, and you can go out there and there's a section about Michael. Charles Krauthammer said this. He says, Charles Krauthammer reveals in his exclusive interview with Under Dogma that America has, for the first time, a president who believes that, quote, America is not intrinsically good, not intrinsically exceptional, that we've been corrupt since our beginning, so we necessarily would want to curtail the power of such a country, unquote. So that was by Charles Krauthammer, of course, there, one of the folks on Fox News on a regular basis. And this is an interesting book. I was a little bit skeptical in the beginning about some of the things that were said in it, but I just think it's an interesting premise to say, let's look at the idea of how America's enemies use our love for the underdog against us in order to trash American power. And so we'll just have to bring that up again. We'll get Michael scheduled again and bring him on the program. Let me switch to the other part that I was going to play for you. you today. A lot of folks may not know, but Dr. Albert Mohler no longer does his regular radio broadcast. His regular radio broadcast used to be heard right here on Kristen Talk 660, called the Albert Mohler Show or program. And he had to end that program in order to do other things. His schedule is extremely busy. And so he created a couple of other sites and a daily podcast. His daily podcast is called Thinking in Public, and it's an interview forum for intelligent conversation about frontline theological and cultural issues. And so I was listening to Dr. Mohler's podcast today, and he did a very good podcast. His podcast, I think, are referred to as The Briefing. And in The Briefing, he did maybe about a 10 or 15-minute segment on why the White House is seeking to speak against the Muslim fears on the terror hearings. And so this is something that I wanted you to hear. Of course, Dr. Mohler does an excellent job, on trying to lay these issues out. A lot of the issues that he ends up speaking about on his program, you know, they're very complex issues. And yet Dr. Mohler does an excellent job of thinking through these issues from a biblical perspective, and then offering some tremendous amount of help afterwards about how to deal with these things. But let me give you some websites related to Dr. Mohler's broadcast. I had Dr. Mohler scheduled to be on the program with us a few weeks ago, and then they called me and said that something had come up, and he was called into a meeting, and he just wasn't going to be able to make that particular broadcast. I never pursued it afterwards to see about getting him on the broadcast, but I will pursue it again and see if we can't get him on, because I wanted him to tell us himself about his new endeavors that he's involved in, Thinking in Public and also The Briefings. Let me tell you that if you just go to his website, which is www.albertmohler.com, let me spell that for you. Mohler is M-O-H-L-E-R. If you just go to him, to that webcast, and then you'll be able to find out more. I tell you what, I was just received word here in the studio that we do have Michael Prell now on the phone. They were able to get the phone line up here very quickly, and so let's go to that conversation, and we'll go from there. Hey, Michael, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Great to have you on the program.
Kevin, great to be here. Thank you.
Great. I know you got another interview scheduled at the bottom of the hour, but I'm glad we could get you for a few minutes. Tell us a little bit about this book, what the premise of the book is, and why you decided to write it at this particular time.
Sure. Under Dogma, which is the name of the book, but it's also the name of a belief system that I identified, which bypasses our notions of right and wrong and bases them simply on whichever side is less or more power. The little guy, the underdog, is automatically considered good and righteous simply because he has less power, and the big guy, the powerful guy, which is usually America or Israel, is automatically considered wrong simply because they have more power. And the danger in this is that it overrides our traditional notions of right and wrong, good and evil, and bases them simply on whichever side has less or more power.
What do you think would be one of the best examples, then, of the under dogma in the news that shapes some of the things that we see in the world today?
One of the biggest issues of our time is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And I'm more interested in how we, who are not directly there and involved, choose sides the way they do. And there was a study that took two groups of university students in America and gave both of them an identical one-page essay that described the Israeli-Palestinian conflict equally from both sides' perspective. And then they took one group and gave them a map that showed Israel as big, and another group and gave them a map that showed Israel as small. And overwhelmingly, it confirms under dogma, the group that got the map that showed Israel as small had this gut instinct that felt that Israel was the underdog, and they took their side. But the group that got the map that showed Israel as big automatically felt that Israel was the overdog, and they took the side of Palestinians. And it shows that this belief system has the power to bypass our rational minds and make millions of people around the world choose sides the way they do, based simply whichever side has less or more power, regardless of the facts.
Now, there's a right way to think about people that could be in a category of the underdog, underprivileged, or people that have been abused by a big system or something like that. But you're saying that just because of the size or just because of the inherent power of one group, people disregard whether the smaller group is right or wrong. They just automatically cheer for that smaller group. Is that correct?
Absolutely. If you want to help someone who's downtrodden, by all means. And if you want to cheer for an underdog sports team, please do. But cheering for the underdog is different than underdogma. Underdogma says that the little guy can do no wrong even when he does wrong. Even when the little guys who are less powerful than America have sworn to want to destroy America. Just because they're less powerful, some people will automatically take their side. And if you don't believe me, there's Chapter 2, where several prominent Americans, after the attacks of 9/11, called the terrorists who took down those towers brave, for having the courage to fly the planes into the buildings. And then, on the other side of underdogma, we've all heard this. America is the real terrorist. And it shows you the power for people to have their minds completely scrambled, and especially their notions of right and wrong scrambled, and automatically think that the big guy can do no wrong, when I contend that America is not just powerful, not just great, but America's also good. It's a good power.
The term that is often used is the term American exceptionalism. When we say that, it almost sounds haughty. It almost sounds overly prideful. What do you exactly mean by that? What are you highlighting in the uniqueness or the worthiness of being defended in America?
My definition of American exceptionalism is the same as Ronald Reagan's, which is the belief that there's something special about America, something exceptional, something great, that America is a shining city upon a hill and a light into the world. And it's not just an opinion, it's a historical fact. Every other great society in world history has fallen by the wayside, and America has surpassed them all to become number one. So when you say that America is exceptional and special, you're making a statement of truth, historical truth. All other systems have been tried. This system, this unique miracle that is America, is special and is exceptional. Now, some people feel queasy about that. Some people feel the need to bow down and apologize for that. And it's one thing for America's enemies to think that about American power or America's competitors or the United Nations. But now, when we have people in America who think of American power as a force for evil in the world, that is a true threat to the very spirit that made America great. Because here's the secret. The American spirit itself is a direct opposite of underdogma, the desire to be number one, the can-do attitude that made America great to begin with. And so as underdogma advances, it actually erodes the very spirit that built all this power to begin with.
How would you connect the Tea Party movement to the idea of underdogma that you're speaking about in the book?
Well, I'm grateful that the leader of the biggest Tea Party group in America has endorsed underdogma, plus the leader of the Tea Party caucus in Congress, Michelle Bachmann. But most importantly, the grassroots Tea Partiers themselves have really come to this book because it unabashedly, unapologetically embraces American exceptionalism and American power and says this is good, we should be proud of it. And Tea Partiers are proud of it. They're looking for a systematic way to make the case that America being number one is not just good for America, but it's also good for the world. And that's what I give readers in this book. I give them the tools to explain to, you know, because we've all got one or two friends who, you know, they might not hate America, but they always have a couple of facts that they're at the tip of their tongue just to say how bad America has been in its past or whatever. And this will give you the tools to have those discussions with your friends and say, no, America has had its faults. But just because America's big doesn't mean we should automatically jump on it and criticize it and automatically jump to the defense of America's enemies and competitors.
I'm reminded of Michelle Obama's statements during the campaign, you know, where she said that for the first time in her life she was felt good or proud of America. And people, of course, rightfully so, asked a lot of questions about that comment. Shortly thereafter, when her husband was elected as president, he went on an apology tour around the world and seemed like he was apologizing for America. Do you see that the same?
Absolutely. I don't see it the same as them. I see that as a problem because, you know, if you think that America is not great until you reach the White House, I would say that that view of American power and greatness and exceptionalism is not shared by most Americans. But here's the, you know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but when the president himself is one thing for, you know, like I said, America's enemies to have these feelings about America's power, but when the president himself feels the need to travel the world and bow down and apologize for it, that has profound effects. This is no longer just an intellectual exercise.
Mm-hmm.
This is the leader of the free world, the most powerful nation in the world, bowing down and apologizing for that power. And it would be one thing if it actually worked, if it actually made people like America more. But just 2 weeks ago, the Palestinians, where they had rarely had a more vocal champion than the current president of the United States, they mocked President Obama for bowing down, saying, quote, "We tell Obama that we are a people that doesn't bow down to anyone." The rest of the world does not bow down and apologize for power. They respect and value and want to take our power, and if we bow down and give it away, they will come and take it.
Well, Michael, it's a very interesting concept, and I think a lot of people will be commenting on this book. It's just been released recently. I'll go ahead and give our listeners all the information about the book, but I just want to say thank you for taking the time out. I apologize that we got a late start, but thank you for taking the time out, and I'll give all the pertinent information about the book here in just a few moments. Okay, that was Michael Perrell. He's a writer and a strategist for the Tea Party Patriots. He's one of the nation's largest Tea Party organizations. He's also an international communications expert who has written for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and hundreds of other public officials and organizations. The name of the book that we were just talking about was the book called Under Dogma. And you can go out to that website. Let me give it to you here. In fact, I'll give it to you when we come back from the break. I'll give you the website, and I'll give you some places where you can find out more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I'm inviting you to join us this spring. We will be having our 24th annual conference in March from the 24th to the 26th here in Orlando, Florida. We have a tremendous team of speakers lined up for that event, including John Piper, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Steve Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr. Over our 40 years of ministries, we've been blessed that God has allowed us to link arms with like-minded teachers and ministries. One of those blessings for me has been the opportunity to work beside John Piper and the people of Desiring God to promote the cause of Christ. And to celebrate each ministry's unique focus, this conference will focus on the theme, Light and Heat, a passion for the holiness of God. Register before March 17th to get the reduced registration rate. You can call 800-435-4343 or visit us at ligonier.org/events for more information.
Unlike man, all coffee is not created equal. Hi, this is Dave Kruver, founder of Mist Valley Coffee. Mist Valley Coffee is unique in that it is freshly roasted, full-bodied, and flavorful coffee that tastes just like it smells. Mist Valley Coffee is more than a mere beverage. It is a robust coffee experience. Taste the difference.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just
out. Find it on the web at mistvalleycoffee.com.
What does the Bible teach me to expect of God if I'm His beloved child? How does our adoption change our attitude toward history and the church? These are some of the subjects we'll consider as we study the doctrine of adoption at this year's Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. We'll also see how practical it is for our lives. For more information, visit AllianceNet.org or call 1-800-488-1888. 1-800-488-1888.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I'm going to play that section by Albert Mohler here in just a second. But I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of the couple of commercials that I just ran here on the program. More PSAs, public service announcements. But the one was for Ligonier Ministries and the upcoming conference that is taking place in Orlando. I tell you what, would you like to go? This is a Light and Heat Conference, 2011 National Conference. It's the title of it, or the topic this year is called Light and Heat, A Passion for the Holiness of God. If you know R.C. Sproul's ministry at all, you know that the holiness of God is a major theme. I probably could go so far as to say that Dr. Sproul was launched into prominence within the Christian community as a result of his book called The Holiness of God. That's kind of when Ligonier Ministries really became well known across the country and across the world. So now they're going to be talking about the idea of a passion, having a passion for the holiness of God. This is going to take place in just a few weeks, March 24th through the 26th in Orlando, Florida. Let me give you a little bit of idea of some of the speakers that are going to be there. Sinclair Ferguson, who of course is the senior pastor down at First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, South Carolina, he's going to be speaking there at this event. Dr. Robert Godfrey will be speaking there. He is the president of Westminster Seminary in California, and so he'll be speaking at the event. Dr. Steve Lawson, Dr. Lawson's been with me numerous times on the radio broadcast and just a wonderful, wonderful speaker. One of the premier passionate speakers in the country. Just really enjoy his ministry and his preaching. Dr. Steve Lawson will be there. He's the senior pastor of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. I've been there, went down there for the expository preaching conference. Really enjoyed getting to meet the folks there. John Piper is going to be there. John Piper was recently on a sabbatical, I think somewhere around 4 or 5 months, something like that. And so he's back now. He's going to be speaking at this event. And, of course, he serves as the pastor of preaching at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so he'll be there. And then Dr. R.C. Sproul will be there, and R.C. Jr. as well will be speaking. And so it's going to be a great time in Orlando. This is coming up, as I mentioned, in just a few weeks. Listen, I've been giving away a few tickets. I gave some tickets to some Christian leaders in our area here. I wanted pastors and elders, church leaders and congregations to be able to go. And the reason why I focused on them first was I wanted them to catch a fresh vision and passion for the holiness of God and then to bring that back to their own congregations. Time is getting short, however, and I still have a few tickets left. Is if you as an individual would like to go to this conference, I have some free tickets that I'm going to be giving away. I can't guarantee that when you send me the email that I'll still have one and be able to get it to you. But if you want to send me an email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and you want to go to this conference, I'll be able to provide you with, I think, as long as supplies last, I'll be able to supply you with a ticket. Now, this will be an admit to ticket, so two people can get in. So I'll give you two tickets, and the tickets are about $150 a piece. And so it's about a $300 offer here, and it's absolutely free. So if you're interested in going this year to this conference, I do have a few of these tickets left. Just send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll see if we can make it available for you if other people haven't beat you to it. Okay, I also, just before when you heard the commercial break take place there, you also heard about the upcoming PCRT conference. I'm just not sure, I don't remember it mentioning in that PSA the actual dates for the Greenville version of this conference. The dates for Greenville is April 1st through April 3rd. This is right here in Greenville. You're not going to have any folks listening right here in the upstate of South Carolina. You're not going to have any travel expense or anything along those lines. Going to be some great speakers at this one here in Greenville, including Dr. Steve Lawson, Rick Phillips, Derek Thomas, David Wells. In fact, I'm looking at the online site here, and it says Steve Lawson. I think that should actually be Joel Beakey. I think that's a typo on the website that I'm reading here. But I think it's going to be Joel Beakey, Richard Phillips, Derek Thomas, and David Wells. If you haven't had a chance to hear these men preach the gospel, they're going to be talking about the subject of being adopted in Christ. We'll talk about that more tomorrow on the radio broadcast, because my guest tomorrow will be Dr. Joel Beakey. Let's go ahead and play this piece from Dr. Albert Mohler's podcast this morning, where he is commenting on the terror-related hearings, the radical Islamic push that is being made in order to recruit people that are involved in Islam here in the United States. There's hearings taking place. Representative King from New York is holding these hearings. This is Albert Mohler commenting on those.
March 8, 2011. I'm Albert Mohler, and this is The Briefing, a daily analysis of news and events from a Christian worldview. The main news today is out of Washington, D.C., where Representative Peter King, a Republican of New York, is using his role as chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee to convene hearings on what he has termed, quote, Al-Qaeda's coordinated radicalization and recruitment of people within the American Muslim community, end quote. These hearings are creating a good deal of controversy in Washington and beyond, with reverberations throughout even the Middle East and the watching world. Now, what Chairman King intends to do with this committee hearing process is to air a particular investigation having to do with how American Muslims are being targeted and then mobilized for Islamic terrorism, the radicalization of at least some very strategic and now well-known American Muslims by the group such as Al-Qaeda, indicates that something is going on here that obviously has a direct impact upon Homeland Security, the assignment of the House Homeland Security Committee. But the controversy has to do with the fact that this congressional committee is intentionally undertaking a study of one particular religious group in terms of its radicalization. Now, Representative King, the chairman of this committee, says that the investigation of American Muslims in this regard just makes sense. He said this, quote, the threat is coming from the Muslim community. The radicalization attempts are directed at the Muslim community. Why should I investigate other communities? End quote. President Obama, through a spokesman, made quite a statement on Sunday saying that Muslims are not America's enemies and that America would not undertake a witch hunt against Muslims. There are others who are complaining. Faisal Abdul Rauf, the man who is the imam, who is the co-founder of the project to develop a mosque near Ground Zero, he, along with Rabbi Mark Schneier, who is the president of the Foundation for Ethnic Understanding, said, quote, to single out Muslim Americans as the source of homegrown terrorism and not examine all forms of violence motivated by extremist belief, that, my friends, is an injustice, end quote. Those were the direct words of Rabbi Schneier, whose point was that this is, after all, an unwarranted targeting of one specific religious group. Now, let's look at this controversy for just a moment, because it is likely to expand. Let's ask the factual question first. Is there a particular mobilization of at least some American Muslims by Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups? The answer to that has to be yes. Just a consideration of recent events and terror strikes indicates the propensity of a growing number of homegrown American Muslims to undertake terroristic acts against the United States and our allies. What's the other side of this argument, then? Well, it's very clear. What we have here is not merely a minority, but a religious minority. And there must be extreme care and circumspection when the United States government or any of its various agencies is undertaking a consideration, much less an investigation, of a specific religious group. We need to remember that something is vitally at stake here. As a matter of fact, more than one reality and value is vitally at stake here. Of course, American homeland security is a matter of paramount public interest, and legitimately so. And what we must avoid here is the political correctness that refuses to name the problem for what it is. This Islamic terrorism is indeed, after all, Islamic. Muslims are indeed the ones who are largely carrying out these terroristic attacks. There is a worldwide phenomenon of Muslim terrorism that has to do with the worldwide aspirations of Muslims. But, of course, that does not mean, and we must be at great pains to state that we know it does not mean, that all American Muslims, or even a large majority of American Muslims, are involved in any such activity or the support thereof. Instead, what we're looking at, however, is a very sizable and strategic minority, sizable if not in number, then in impact. We need to get over the political correctness that refuses to speak the problem for what it is. And this means that Islam is indeed a part of the issue here, and of course it's a part of the problem, given its understanding of its aims in terms of the worldwide rule under Sharia law. We come to understand that there is a particular problem here, the name for which can only be stated as Islam. On the other hand, given our commitment to religious freedom, given our understanding of the danger of the state intruding into religious affairs, there has to be an enormous nervousness here, even on the part of those who are willing to overcome political correctness and name the problem for what it is. Therefore, this needs to be done in public in a way that is open to public scrutiny, is after all limited by public concerns, and which always values constitutional principles. This very difficult balancing act of principles is not only a difficult thing to achieve in the present, it is almost surely a sign of things to come. The world has been watching the escalation of the crisis in Libya as Muammar Gaddafi appears absolutely adamant to hold on to power, whatever the cost.
Well, there you have it. That was Dr. Moeller this morning on his podcast talking about the situation that's taking place in New York. I want to read to you some other news items associated with that story, but we're going to take our final commercial break, and when we do, we'll come back and talk about a couple of those things. I got a statement that's been put out by the ACLU. Jay Sekulow's organization, that the American Center for Legal Justice, and for law and justice. They made a statement about this case today as well, and so I want to go ahead and let you hear what they had to say. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great Christian music you grew up with Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
What does the Bible teach me to expect of God if I'm His beloved child? How does our adoption change our attitude toward history and the church? These are some of the subjects we'll consider as we study the doctrine of adoption at this year's Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. We'll also see how practical it is for our lives. For more information, visit AllianceNet.org or call 1-800-488-1888. 1-800-488-1888.
Unlike man, all coffee is not created equal. Hi, this is Dave Kruber, founder of Mist Valley Coffee. Mist Valley Coffee is unique in that it is freshly roasted, full-bodied, and flavorful coffee that tastes just like it smells. Mist Valley Coffee is more than a mere beverage. It is a robust coffee experience. Taste the difference.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just out.
Find it on the web at mistvalleycoffee.com.
At Heavenly Oasis Landscaping, we take care of all your landscape needs, whether it's design, irrigation, grading, sod, seed, walkways, patios, plants, retainer walls, clearing. Well, you pretty much get the idea. Anything outside. With nearly 30 years' experience, there is no job too small or too big. Let us make your outdoor dreams a reality. To hear more about our new spring discounts, call Gerald at 346-4447. That's 346-4447.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last and final segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. And we're looking at a couple of the items, and specifically the items that are related to American exceptionalism and Islam. That was the topics of a couple of the things that we were speaking about today. We started off the program by speaking with Michael Prell about his book, Under Dogma. And it was a book that dealt with how Americans' enemies use our love for the underdog to trash American power. And he really does an analysis in this book about how we think about the underdog in America and how that influences the way that we see certain events. And his contention in the book is not so much that when there is an injustice done or when somebody is outnumbered and there's an unfair fight that we shouldn't be associated with the underdog in that, but his point is that in this postmodern world, we just don't even consider very much what the person who is smaller is actually believing or thinking or promoting. That is removed from the equation, and all we look at is size. All we look at is that one group is large and the other group is small, and therefore we root for the smaller group. We have a propensity to do this. And so is that right? Is that what we should be doing? And if that's true, if we do that subconsciously in our society today, even within our government and political things, what sort of ramifications does that have on the way that we look at important issues in our day and age, such as important issues like national security? I mean, does this underlying subconscious attitude, can it actually be found in the way that we approach national security? Is this really something that we should be bringing in? Should we bring this underlying attitude into such an important subject? National security, this is how important national security is. You can talk all day long about rights, what rights and privileges people should have, but if you lose the ability to protect yourself, every other right then will be taken away, because your very life may be taken away. And so it won't do you much good to have the freedom of speech if you don't have the freedom of life, if you don't have the ability to live. And so certainly something like our national security, protecting ourselves against our enemies, we can't be building in these false premise into the equation, these false attitudes. We have to think about these things very carefully. So I thought it was an interesting subject, an interesting analysis of what is taking place. We certainly see a lot of that in the news. I don't know if he's put his finger on it exactly correct, but I think just raising it so that we at least look at what's taking place is a good idea. Secondly, we listened even more specifically to some statements that were made by Dr. Albert Mohler, specifically commenting on the trials that are currently, well, will be currently, it's a Thursday, I think they begin. They're gearing up right now for some trials that are going to take place. I say trial, they're hearings, they're not trials. Hearings that are going to take place in New York about the idea of the radicalization of American Muslims. Now, the problem is, with the attacks that took place with our enemies that are abroad, is that they're associated with a religion. They use religious terminology in their campaigns for terror. You know, a lot of times when these Islamic terrorists commit a crime, you remember what they shout out during the crime or at the crime scene, Allah Akbar, God is great. So we've got a group that is terrorizing people around the globe, and they've built into it religion. And not only that, but when we look at the religion that's built into it, we have a very difficult time trying to discern whether or not this religion inherently promotes violence. Now, the way that we would say that it promotes violence is in the teachings that are in the religion where it calls for jihad against people, you know, fighting against the infidels and putting the infidels to death and converting people to Islam by coercive efforts, by fear and terror. And if they don't convert, in some cases, that they should either be made subjects of or they should even be put to death. Some people say that the so-called moderate Muslims are actually just bad Muslims, meaning that they don't follow their religion all the way. You know, that if they actually followed the teachings of Islam, that the teachings of Islam would demand that they also be on board with these types of things. Truthfully, I don't know Islamic teachings that well. I've asked that question of guests that have been on the program and missionaries that have been there in Islamic countries and folks that have written books extensively writing about what Islam teaches and these types of things. And those folks tell me that it is inherently in the religion itself. And so I often question, we're often told that when these things take place, that, well, this is just a very, very small minority group within the larger group. But what I keep asking is, when we see the news footage, there are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands marching in the street, burning American flags and having suicide belts strapped to their bodies. It doesn't look like a small majority. It looks like, at least in some regions, this is the main thinking of the main group. And so I think this idea of having hearings to at least ask the question, for some people, asking the question is abominable. It's completely out of bounds. To the president right now and many of the Democrats in Congress and the progressives across the country, it is unconscionable to even ask the question about whether or not there is a radicalization of American Muslims taking place in this country and that we should see if we should do something about it. So I think they've gone way too far. I think on the other side of the spectrum, people that say that every Muslim out there is a potential terrorist, they've gone way too far in the other way. I think we need to take a reasonable look at what is taking place. We know that when they commit these crimes, these horrible terrorist events, much like what Major Hassan did at the barracks, the army barracks not that long ago, that when Fort Hood, when that took place, you know, we notice that they always come out of mosques. They're associated with a mosque, and we find that there was a radical imam that was teaching something in these mosques, or they have connections with one. And so shouldn't we be asking more questions? We've got to come up with a way, a mechanism, to be able to tell who is radicalized and who is not. Our very life depends on it. Certainly our livelihood here in the United States. We've already been lockdown here in the United States as a result of what they've done. You know, the airport security and all of the other things that are taking place across the country are all a result of that. We're already responding to it. But even more so, they're out to inflict as much bodily damage as possible. And so I think, you know, we should certainly be looking into this. The American Center for Law and Justice put out a press release that says this: Representative King's hearing sound strategy in safeguarding our homeland. Let me just read the opening segment here. It says the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ, said today the upcoming House hearings by Representative Peter King on the radicalization of American Muslims represents an important step forward in safeguarding our homeland against the rising tide of homegrown terror. Well, I certainly agree. You can read the rest of that news release out at their website. And their website, just so you can go out there and take a peek, is www.aclj.org. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast to speak with Emily Bells from World Magazine about a number of articles that she has written. And then also we'll be back with our special guest tomorrow afternoon, Joel Bells, to talk about the subject of adoption. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.